Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo, J.R. Rochford, taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, fully independent, fourth-generation family practice right here in the greater Phoenix area. Today, to bring you information you may not find on those other radio shows is what we normally say, but today we're going to talk to you about what everybody is talking to you about. We're going to talk about the banks. But unlike all those other radio shows that are probably just now bringing this to your attention, if we're coming up on our one-year anniversary, we are 1 week away. And if you go back and you listen to Another Money Show, wherever you like and subscribe to podcasts or on our website at anothermoneyshow.com, you will see that we have been warning you about this, the likelihood of this, for so long. It's been blatant. It's been in everybody's faces, and it's just now getting here, and everybody is acting shocked. Hopefully, if you're listening to this show, you are not surprised. What do you say, JR?
Well, since everybody else is talking about the banks, I don't think there's any need for us to do it. I don't see why we have to jump on the bandwagon, the bank bandwagon. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. We've been sounding the alarms. First of all, I mean, geez, any idiot can see the world's in trouble. You know, I'm just the idiot that's saying it out loud all the time. It's like, I mean, things are amiss. You know, I've been worried about the banks for about 15 years. In 2014, I was managing a large account that had a very large presence to banks. I got to learn how to ladder CDs using a program called CDRS. I mean, I had to, this account was, when I had it, it was hovered between $23 and $26 million. So that'll give you an idea of the scope of this thing. And basically, I took it seriously. It was other people's money, so I had to take it very seriously. And I was frightened. The more I read, the more I researched. That's when I first learned about derivatives and about, you know, swaps and all this stuff. And it really, really scared me to have this money. Well, then some of what I was seeing and reading and hearing in 2017, the banks and credit unions started putting this information out. You know, the clip I read, the little blurb I read last week or the week before, you know, from a credit union that said, you know, 7 to 60 days notice to get your money. You know, they might have, it has to be in another instrument than cash. The glaring missing piece of that is how much. You know, everybody thinks, oh, you put in 10 grand or you take out 10 grand or more and that's a problem. No, you can take out $14 now and that's a problem, but for another day. Anyway, so in 2017, I started showing this. I had a piece of paper from one of the financial institutions I used, and I started showing it to people and I started asking them to do their own research. Turns out it was put out by all of the banks and the credit unions, and most people didn't even know it. They didn't see it. They don't read the fine print. If you don't close your account, you're accepting of the new terms. So I thought, you know, because I'd like to opt out, you know, it's my money. I want it to be safe. Well, it's not your money. You know, the old pink, yellow, white, triplicate, legal size paper that we used to sign, you know, years ago before everything was digitized, it said, you give us your money, we will do the best we can to give it back, but we're going to use it. Business loans, mortgages, reverse mortgages, you know, whatever. We're going to use your money to leverage it to make a profit. Anyway, with what's going on, there's a couple things I want to get to right away. The first thing is, I want to tie into something. You know, you've been talking a lot about Jim Cramer. You've been talking about the inverse, you know, the ETF.
Inverse. Yeah, Jim. I love it. I love it so much.
And
so
you know that Jim Cramer came out, I guess it was like 3 weeks prior to last week's big, you know, dumping. And he recommended it. he recommended that particular bank.
And I thought, of course no, that's, he did. I love his picks.
Yeah. And I thought, that's too much. That's not true. And then, I do what I do. And I start doing a little duck, duck, go search. And there it is. I mean, Jim Cramer loves the bank. So
yeah, let's do a little PCA or PSA too on that, right? Because I know we've said this a ton of times on this show, but these people out there giving financial advice on the radio are not licensed to give financial advice. And that is why they can give financial advice. You know, if you listen to this show on the radio, all the disclaimers, all of that, and how we have to say we have to talk to you individually because we can't give advice on air, that is because we are financial advisors. All of those media personalities who are telling you to buy a defaulting bank are not licensed to give financial advice. And I find that hilarious because people swear by the financial advice they hear on the TV.
Well, yeah, they're authors, they're entertainers, they're anything but advisors. So, and they do put out good information. They put out interesting information. But if you're taking your financial planning advice from them, make sure you get a second opinion. That's why we are conveniently located 98th and Bell in the West Valley of Phoenix. So
we talk about too, because you know you did bring up the short gym. So I bought it like a couple days after it got released. It looks like since it's been released, it is up 3% as of today with everything else falling around. So solid.
That's awesome.
Solid Jordan picks for Jim.
Today's the 15th of March. We record this on Wednesday. It airs on Saturday, or like you said, wherever you find your podcasts. Today, when I was getting ready for the show, the Dow Jones, you know, the 30 companies that represent our whole entire 401k, the Dow Jones was down 600 points. I looked again right before coming out. I was like 500 and something. So it's not having a great day. And by the way, you know, the big information on the banks last Friday caused a bunch of people to panic. And it's funny because Monday, you would think the market would have a real rough day. It was up most of the day. It ended down slightly. Well, and then yesterday it was up, 400 points in the Dow or something. It's just crazy land. But I want to tell you the very most important thing I think you need to know out of this whole bank thing. I want to do this up front. I mean, believe me, I have plenty to say today, but I want to get this out of the way. When Jim Cramer said it was a buy recommendation and it's a great, you know, great thing to own, that's one thing. You know, I mean, we it's actually comical, his recommendation. So we'll dismiss that for a minute. So, but the actual CEO, Mr. Greg, the CEO of Silicon Valley Bank, he said the word sparkling the week before the bank dumped. He said it was in good shape. It was sparkling. That was also why he was pulling about, you know, over $3 million worth of stock share. Did he know what was really going on? Well, here it is. I mean, get out a pen and paper so you remember to look this up later. Here's the most important thing we're going to say today. So I do a little bit of digging because I'm not hearing this on the radio. Do a little bit of digging. Do you realize that he was on the board of directors for the San Francisco Federal Reserve? Anthony, did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, look it up after the show, please. I'm glad you used your mechanical pencil to write that down because he was on the board of the Federal Reserve. Okay. Today's
now we're getting started.
We make jokes about me having a heart attack or a stroke on the show. Today is the actual stroke/heart attack day. He was on the board of the Fed, you know, and you and I talked this week about, you know, woke. We talked about how things are changing towards the ESG. We're talking about how some of the higher ups at Silicon Valley Bank, you know, were very much touting, you know, the one woman was touting how she's a gay woman. And it's like, who cares? I don't care your sexual preference. When I was a kid, there were gay people. You know what? Do your thing. Just do it quietly. When I want my money in a bank, I want you to focus on that. I don't care who you're sleeping with. I don't care about any of that. I don't want to know that. I'd rather be like, I had a hunch, or, oh, I didn't know that. I want you to make my money safe. I want my stock prices to stay high. And I'm sorry if I'm a little bit impassioned about this today. My wife is home today and she put up a note saying my CPR card is expired. Please don't have a heart attack. You know, remind her that we have life insurance and the best thing that could happen to her is for me to have a stroke or heart attack. So, okay.
I mean, what about all the other members that were with Lehman Brothers and Goldman Sachs in 2008 now they're running SVB now?
Timothy Geithner was my favorite example. If you're from a failed institution, what do they do with you when you get washed out? Well, they put you in the government. Of course they do. And, you know, I just called you dude. I have so much to say. I don't know how to get it all out. I want to make another point quickly. So, you know, the most important thing to look up is the fact that the government, you know, the Wall Street, the big banks, these people are all intertwined. You know, we had a pretty well-known system in place. If you put $250,000 or less in the bank, we're going to cover you. Of course, we have no money to do that. You and I point out all the time that if you go on FDIC.gov, don't go to our website, go to their website and look to see if we're lying. It's in the range of 1.25% coverage. You know, let that sink in for a second. If you
just
have
for the
under
insured.
To be insured. So if you have under a quarter million, so you played by the rules correctly. If you had more money than that, you went to two or three institutions, whatever. If there's a modern day run on the banks, which we're going to get to that in a minute too, because hang on. So if there's a modern day run on the banks, your coverage, when you put your hand out because they have a bank holiday and they close the doors, if they do make you whole, it's going to be on $1.25 per $100 roughly. Doesn't make me feel all that warm and fuzzy. If you have over $250,000, you're supposed to be uncovered, meaning you don't get your insurance. Well, those rules all just changed on Sunday. Why? You know, Mark Cuban, apparently, from what I heard, lost $5 to $7 million in that bank. They're going to give him his money back. Mark Cuban, you know, Mark, and I know he's one of our listeners, so I want to shout out to Mark. We're still looking for sponsors. So if you lose, you know, I don't know, $5, $6, $7 million, you're still a billionaire. I'm not all that worried about you. If mom and pop lose $50,000, I'm worried about them. So it's all about who you know, not what you know. And also now they're lifting that $250,000 thing for this bank. And oh, by the way, another, what, three banks? Same situation over the weekend. You know, reading last night, there's another six, potentially seven banks on Yellen's big fat watch list. Today, Credit Suisse looks like it's finally going to go. We've been talking about that for a month. You know what? I think let's take a break because I need to get over to urgent care. So Jim, give us an extended break. But make sure you reach out to us at anothermoneyshow.com. Give us a call, 623-523-0444. We want to help you with your personal situation. This stuff around us, we can't control. We can help you control your level of stuff. So we'll be right back. Thanks for being with us.
Like what you're hearing? You can watch the show too. Visit youtube.com and search Another Money Show to watch clips from this program. Are you concerned about market volatility, rising taxes from the Biden administration, and how it could affect your retirement? Then listen to Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. Learn how you can reduce the taxes you pay before and during retirement. Another Money Show every Saturday at 4 p.m. on 960 The Patriot. Schedule your free, no-obligation consultation now by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one will actually keep you awake.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. As always, we are so glad you're here. You know, Anthony pointed out we're almost a year now. This is our 51st episode. You know, we didn't think we'd make it more than a month. So especially because, I mean, we're financial people. We look at statements. Anthony's an engineer. You know, I used to work for an elevator company. We're not financial. We're not, you know, cut out for anything in life, really. I mean, well, we could work at Walmart to greet people. We are very personable. You're a very social engineer. I never saw you with a pocket protector, but I just can't picture it.
Well, so, that's why I couldn't be an engineer. I was too social.
Yeah, I think you were too fun. But it does point out, it does make you smart, which at least you have that going for you. Your degree was in industrial engineering. Mine was in communication studies. Did I ever tell people the story of that? I'll make it really quick because we have so much to get to. So I go to school, you know, I'm thinking business, you know, I want to get my MBA. I'm thinking I want to be, you know, like a smart guy. I get into second year of college, math. I'm like, oh yeah, no. So I switched my major from like business economics to communication studies because it had the least amount of math required to graduate. True story. And now what do you do for a living for the last quarter of a century? Oh, I help people with money and numbers and math and you know, business calculator.
Here you are, the third generation of our fourth generation family practice out there giving advice for over 25 years. The guy that didn't want to take math classes.
Yes. And you have been here 5 years already, and your mom wants to have grandkids. So we have a fifth generation for the office. So I'm not trying to bring that up on the show. You know, you having grandkids, that's a lot less likely than the banks all closing the
door. Mom really is influencing the show today, isn't she?
Well, she's here, so I'm going to be nice. You know, if you've ever heard past episodes and you've heard me slam the show, The Masked Singer, the woman that I just stare at while she's watching that show and wonder what's going on in her head, she's here today. So I'm being
She's now watching you the way she usually watches The Masked Singer.
No, she's...
You're not nearly as entertaining.
I know she can hear me, but she's not really looking at me. She's my second to last wife, so I have to be really careful with this one. You know, I used to call her third time as a charm. Now I just call her my second to last. So it's good. We're happy over here. Back to the banks, because we have, you know what? Let's take a break from the banks. Do you know that a drone got shot down yesterday? It's funny because there's so much going on. You know, don't forget, there were trains derailed recently and perhaps, you know, water problems. And there was all kinds of stuff going on in the world. And now all we're going to talk about is banks. So I do want to point out our attention spans as usual. Well, anyway,
let me talk about real quick, because we always talk about black swan events, right? If you're looking at something that's coming from somewhere else, that's why we bring up the 10 pillars. But how, I mean, the first thing that came to mind is we've known Credit Suisse is on the verge of bankruptcy for over a year. And we're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then SVB came out of nowhere. Did you have any clear, any idea?
No, you know, usually a lot of my information is because I scour, you know, media sources to find it. I had a friend reach out to me and ask me about it. That's when I first heard about it. And then Thursday, I had a couple people ask. And then Friday is when it blew up. I had one of my friends, shout out to Michael C. in Sun City. Apparently he listens to us while he works out every week. Mike texted on Friday, and then I was like, oh, it was kind of early. And so I start looking more. Well, Friday afternoon, in about, I don't know, about a 3 hour span, I got 11 texts from people asking about this. So it really blew up on Friday. So no, we didn't see it. And it's not really a black swan, because we've been telling people, banks and credit unions in general. I was talking about Deutsche Bank in 2017 when they were literally day to day from closing. Shout out to Randy Miller. We used to go around telling people about the banks. And, you know, when you look at the banks in Italy, Ireland, Venezuela, Argentina, Brazil, you name it, anywhere in the world, they're stressed. So to me, that's not the black swan event. I see what you're saying. You know, SVB is the mini black swan. But, you know, the black swan event is really the drone yesterday, which would have been the fortune of the March. Because as we're watching the banks, you know, that could be World War III. And how does a downed drone, you know, have to do with financial? Well, first of all, how much did the drone cost? I'll bet the thing was millions of dollars, so I can tie it to finances. But the other thing is, while we're watching the banks and we're scared, you know, about our neighborhood bank, we don't forget we are on the verge of World War III potentially. So, and I won't go down there because we don't have time today, but it's there. So black swan event, I mean, you know, if we get one that comes in right now that's bigger than all this, I would say all bets are off and you probably better hunker down.
I think that's our best bet to bring this all together.
Yes. So back to the banks. Let's get back into the banks. So first of all, with everybody getting a little bit nervous about smaller banks, what are they doing? They're going to Wells Fargo, B of A, Chase. They're flooding into the big banks. A couple thoughts about that. Last Friday, and this went way under the radar. Last Friday, there was a big glitch over at Wells Fargo. A bunch of people got money taken out of their accounts. Did you hear about that? Was it a test of a bail-in? Nobody got money put in their account. If it was just a computer glitch, you would think that there'd be, you know, accounting irregularities, money would be missing, money would be put in. It's Wells Fargo. So, you know, you do expect it to be taken out.
Yeah, nobody gets checks anymore. They're direct deposits Friday. You know, you're excited for payday and all of a sudden banks are closing around you. And not only are you not getting paid, you're having money deducted. That's terrifying.
Yes. And it didn't even get talked about. I found it on Dave Hodges and like the alternate type media stuff. Shout out to Dave Hodges. I mean, talk about somebody that's been ahead of the curve. I mean, you know, he's my idol. My idols, Joe Jaquin, Dave Hodges, people that are telling you the truth are far and few in between, but we're going to need them here coming up soon. So, you know, and when you mention how long we've been talking about the banks, this is not new to us. And I'm not doing one of these, I told you so. I mean, I'm really not. I'm just, you know, all of the people that have trusted us and listened to us, they're in better shape. And we still don't think it's too late, by the way. If you're, well, let's do this. Let's take another break. Can you tell I'm excited today? I'm talking a little faster than usual. I'm stroking out. I mean, I'm having a good time today, but I have a sense of urgency to pass along to you. So let's do this. Let's take a break. Come back and keep hitting this stuff up. You can find us at anothermoneyshow.com. Call us 623-523-0444. We would love to answer your questions. You know, sign up for our podcasts. And next week is our 1 year anniversary. So we would like a couple of cakes, gifts, that sort of thing. Or at least a little attaboy to us. At least, you know, reach out to us. We'll be right back.
This is Another Money Show. Except this one's different. This one's actually fun.
Is your house too big for your current needs? What about your current budget? I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. As our circumstances change, so do our needs. In retirement, it's likely you'll no longer need the 5-story, 2-bedroom home you've lived in since your kids were all in school. But it's not just the size of the home that can be a consideration in deciding whether to downsize.
Some people are living in a situation where the house needs a lot of work. It's time to renovate the kitchen. It's time to put on a new roof. And they think, do I spend that money? Do I have the energy to do that? Maybe I should just move instead.
Real estate expert Sandra Rinamato told CBC News that selling your home and moving into something smaller can be a good way to free up cash in retirement.
By selling the house that liquidates gives you the money to live a lifestyle that you've dreamt of your whole life.
A smaller place is also cheaper to heat, cool, and maintain. Moving into an apartment or living with family members is another way to potentially save money on housing expenses, such as lawn care and maintenance. Experts say to maximize your profits on the sale of your old home, keep your real estate agent's commission as low as possible. And there are companies out there that can help if you decide downsizing is right for you. So, could cutting the size of your home help keep your retirement budget in check? That's a key question to consider, and it's one of 23 retirement cost cutters for 2023. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure.
To obtain your free copy of 23 Retirement Cost Cutters for 2023, reach out to J.R. and Anthony at 623-523-0444 or go online to anothermoneyshow.com.
At Rochford & Associates, we know you've worked hard to earn your money, and you've worked even harder to save it. When it comes to wealth management and planning for retirement, J.R. Rochford and his team of specialists have been helping individuals, families, and business owners find financial freedom at their veteran-owned firm for more than 25 years. Give us a call now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. You're listening to Another Money Show. No, that's the name of the show. Another Money Show. And now another money-making round with JR and Anthony.
Welcome back to Another Money Show, our 51st episode. Don't forget, next week's our 1 year anniversary. We would like a cake and a gift, but at least a shout out to us. You know, make sure you go to YouTube and follow us. We're not doing a great job with asking people to subscribe to that. You know, it just shows little clips. It has a link to our entire episodes, but it's little clips. And we'll get back to my passion towards the banks in a minute. But, you know, we always talk about problems. We need to have solutions too. And, you know, we've said pay down debt, buy hard assets, look at insurance companies, have some cash, get out of the banks. That's been a lot of our recommendations. You know, we had a listener reach out to us through YouTube. I think I can say his name because he said good stuff about us. I wouldn't even bring it up if he said you guys suck. But his name is Christopher Snyder. And I believe I know who that is. He's a wonderful man, very, very knowledgeable about the world. And he asked about gold backs. So I thought there's another solution. We did bring that up months ago on an episode. Again, another shout out to our friend Randy Miller. He told us about gold backs, I don't know, about a year ago. And what it is, you know, with the fiat currency going away, the world reserve currency changing from us, what are we going to do? You know, all these people that have their faith in Bitcoin and Dogecoin and Ethereum, Ripple, whatever, we don't think that's the answer because the government doesn't like competition. So when the government wants to usher in their central bank digital currency, they have to get rid of the crypto. You know, they've been seizing money from accounts they think are money laundering. You know, if you lose your password, you can't get your money. There's a lot of flaws to that. You know, the blockchain is a beautiful thing. That's what they're going to use for the CBDC through the government is the blockchain. That part's solid. The unknown is you have no money. So not everybody can afford a pile of gold and silver. You know, when you talk about the fiat currency and fractional reserving, there's a fractional reserving way to do gold. It's called gold backs. And it's what, Anthony, five different states you can buy them from?
There's a few websites. Defy the Grid was where I was buying mine. But what they are is it's actually melted down gold. So it kind of looks in the shape of a dollar. And you can get them in 1, 5, 10, 25, 50, you know, all these different thicknesses. But the ones are 1/1000th of an ounce. Now they're charging approximately $100% over what that actual spot price is. So one bill might be worth $1.80 in gold, and they're selling it for $3.60. And this is just approximate. You'll have to look it up. But they're cool. I mean, we talk about this all the time. If you're trying to talk about barterability, and that's why you want to invest in gold and silver, we tell you, stock up on food and water and ammo first, something that can be traded and you can live off of food and water. You can't live off gold and silver. But if you have that situated, you know, we have always said we like silver more than gold because silver is easier to trade. You know, if you're going to come with how are you going to get change for a 2,000 ounce, you know, 1 ounce coin of gold. But these fractional shares they're doing with gold backs, I think are cool. I've bought some, JR's bought some. I mean, it's just an easy way to have smaller shares of gold.
How many did you buy and what's your home address? I think the listeners are curious a little more in depth on this. You know, we like silver because if we get to a barterable situation, which it looks like the country's going eventually, you know, you're right. I mean, a $2,000 coin, you can't get change. So silver, you can get, you know, a little more easy to deal with. The silver of the gold world, you know, it's an easier way to trade gold. I used to tell people about something called Valcambi bars. And what it is, it's a 1.6 ounce bar of either silver or gold, but it's scored. It's like perforated, you know, and it's metal, but it's perforated into 51 gram bars. So you can snap off a little corner. The problem with these Valcambi bars, I mean, people snapped them up. So, you know, that to me reminds me of the goldbacks. But the goldbacks look just like a dollar. They you know, look a little bit like Monopoly money, except I'd say they're worth more. Speaking of Monopoly money,
melt them down. And that's the cool thing. It's not like they're trying to come up with a new currency, like a digital currency. And this is a physical, this is actual gold. You melt it down, you have actual gold. And I think that's the coolest thing about them.
Yes. And we believe in diversification. We believe in hard assets. This kind of helps you with both of those things. And we think your green dollar bill is going to be worth less. And this thing will be worth more. So win, win, win.
I mean, since its creation, it's down 96%. So investing in the dollar, not a great investment, apparently. But, you know, no. With this run on the bank too, and SVB, if you've been watching Bitcoin shot up like 20%. Like that makes no sense.
Well, it kind of does because people are scared. So they're thinking the banks are a problem. Where do I go? So they go to cryptos. But we think the bigger picture for cryptos, it's just a distraction. You know, we talked about tulips and beanie babies. You don't own anything. So when the government, you know, I mean, and I've said this, you know, for a year, we're going to have a stock market meltdown. We're going to have a real estate slowdown, probably screech to a halt. Then we're going to have a bank holiday. We're going to have a bail-in, and then we're going to have a digital currency ushered in. So I still don't think I'm wrong. I just think I'm early. And by the way, we're not calling it a bail-in apparently this week. Have you heard the word for what's happening right now? It's called a backstop. Backstop. What the hell is a backstop? So yeah, they're changing the word bail-in because everybody's starting to know the word bail-in to backstop. With that said, why don't we take a break? We'll come back in a minute and we'll have our longer segment where we can get back on railing on these banks. But please make sure you reach out to us, anothermoneyshow.com. Thanks for being here. You gotta think about you. I just can't live without you. I really want you, Eleanor, near me.
You're listening to Another Money Show.
Welcome back to Another Money Show. Thanks for being with us. So, you know, talking about drones, you know, something else interesting happened this past week that people probably, you know, they missed in all the excitement. The commander-in-chief proposed a 5.2% federal pay increase, largest in 43 years. Bet you didn't read about that. So while this
is
going on.
Where's that money coming from?
Where's all the money coming
from?
Did you
raise the debt ceiling?
The debt ceiling, that's old news, Anthony. The debt ceiling doesn't matter. Well, just because my clients aren't going to get their Social Security checks next June or July, that's not a big deal.
No, but I mean, with the SVB, right? Because we talked about how, one, the FDIC doesn't have the money you think it does. they're telling us, you know, the government came out and said that all depositors, they made it sound as though all depositors will be refunded their money, not just the FDIC insured ones. Because I've seen numbers as low as 3% of all of the funds in SVB were actually insurable under the FDIC insurance. That means people should be losing a lot of money, and the government's saying they won't be. But they're also saying it's not a bailout. So where does that money come from? And also, where does that money come from? If it is, so say they're lying about a bailout because they lie about everything. So say it is an actual bailout and we've hit the debt ceiling and we already
backstop.
Have.
It's not a bailout. It's a backstop. Yeah, backstop. Not a bailout.
Yeah, just like transitory inflation.
Correct. Yeah.
So, but and again, this is kind of combining a few things, but do you think they use this as an excuse to raise the debt ceiling without taking any cuts? Because now we have to protect the people. We have to protect, even though this isn't a people bank. I mean, there were individuals, but these were large venture capitalists. Like this was, there's a reason why the majority of these funds are not FDIC insured, because this is not people like you and me and our listeners that have their money in these banks. These are massive tech companies.
And right is right, wrong is wrong. And our government never seems to follow that simple rule. You know, our motto forever has been, we want you to be proactive, not reactive. So one thought that occurred to me over the last week is our government is never proactive. They're always reactive. You know, when did I have to have my Q-tips taken away and my shoes taken off of the airport? After the planes hit the building. You know, when are they going to, you know, do something about the banks? After the backstops. Moody's came out and downgraded the banking industry. Not one or two banks. Actually, there's six or seven. You know, I mentioned that like actively on the watch list. But they basically said, we're gonna say, you know, it's not a good idea to buy into the banking industry. Where were you 2 or 3 weeks ago, Moody's? What, now you're coming out? No kidding, you idiots. Yeah, no, this is, and by the way, the banks in 2008, let me roll, Anthony, let me hit this. The banks in 2008, what's the term we threw around? Too big to fail. Do you remember that one? They took taxpayer money and they bailed out AIG. They bailed out Wells Fargo. They bailed out GM Bank. Oh, by the way, GM. The car company, there was a bank tied to them called GMAC, who had since changed their name to Ally Bank. We've been telling people for 5 years about putting your money at Ally Bank because your interest rates will be higher. I hate to say this, and I'll be very careful how I say it. If you listened to us and you made more interest over the years, check on your account. Ally Bank is one of the imminent Zion Bank. They named them all yesterday over at Moody's, and Yellen's been saying it. I have to blanket tell people right now because I don't remember who we told about that, but check your money.
Well, I mean, I've got an Ally account. I've been open about that because I was big on online accounts to earn interest in this zero interest rate environment. But yeah, no, that's terrifying to see.
Yeah, well, maybe, and I'm not saying, you know, cause panic or a modern day run of the bank, but maybe you should pull your money. And you know what? It's funny. Everybody wants me to keep calm. You know, if you tell people to pull their money in the bank, it's going to cause a run. Well, first of all, you know, not that many people listen to us. So I'm not worried about me. But second of all,
we've told them for over a year to pull it out of the bank.
Yes. And wake up. Don't tell me to be calm. Tell me to be smart for once. Tell me to be proactive, not reactive. So back to 2008. In 2008, we threw around the world too big to fail. You know, we couldn't, they were systematically important banks. We couldn't let them fail because the economy is going to crash. This is a free country. We're not Russia. Crash away. Let the survival of the fittest take over. If the bank is doing nefarious things, Wells Fargo, I'm not looking at you. Don't worry. You know, if they're doing stupid stuff, go away. Let's make a new bank. You know what I mean? It's like with the politicians. I'm tired of all of you. You're a toilet. Flush the toilet. Well, what if it doesn't flush all the way? Flush it again. Keep flushing the toilet until there's clear water in it so my dog can drink out of it. You ridiculous people. So too big to fail. I need to finish my thought before I stroke out. Anthony, you can finish the show, right? If this actually is the end for me. So you know what's going on now?
Silence for you.
What's that?
Go on. Tell me more. I'm excited. I love this.
Let me coin a new phrase for you. Instead of too big to fail, why don't we call the new turn events too small to fail? Too small to fail. You know, we're going to all make a run from these little national bank, these little community banks. We're going to go to the big three. Couple thoughts for you. If you're too small to fail, fail. Let's cleanse things. If we all usher ourselves into the big banks, we have slammed the hell out of Chase and Wells Fargo. Wells opening up fake accounts, you know, Chase having felonies, a bank, you know, six or seven felonies. Now that's where you're all going to go. Look up derivatives and look how dirty what they do with your money. You know, I've been telling people forever, get the heck out of the three banks. Well, maybe, let me adjust my tinfoil hat. If we usher everybody into the big banks, when what I think is coming, at us like a freight train. When we go to the digital currency, perhaps the government needs somebody to administer the program. Well, if we get most of the people into the big banks and we let the little banks go when we're ready, right now they're too little to fail, but they won't be soon. So we let them go and then everybody's already at the big banks and we're ready to watch their money. We're ready to turn it over to the digital currency and then we'll do the social credit scores and you can't buy red meat, you know, whatever we're going to do with this thing. So should I slow down? Am I freaking anybody out here?
Keep going. Keep the
train
going.
Back to my friend Michael C. in Sun City. Wonderful man, by the way. He's been helping us fix a water heater. This guy is a brilliant mind, by the way. Master's degree, super smart. And he's like you. He's smart, but he's really fun and personable. So he asked, is it smarter to be in a credit union than a bank? And I unfortunately had to tell him, no, it's smarter to be in goldbacks and insurance companies and cash and food and guns and ammo and alcohol and tobacco and firearms. So you know what? The credit unions. So presumably they're a little bit more caring, a little bit more, you know, easy to lend you money. Yeah. Try to get money from them. When you need money, you'll never get it. When you have money, they'll lend you money all day long. So it depends on what the credit unions invest in. If they're heavy in mortgage-backed securities, if they're heavy on credit, you know, default swaps and collateralized mortgage obligations and collateralized debt obligations, welcome back 2008. So then they're not as safe. It depends on the stability of their loan portfolio. If they're loaning a bunch of people to, you know, subprime auto loans, and those are defaulting like nothing. Oh, by the way, this week, you know, we need a 6-hour show today. This week, we tipped. There is officially more money in credit card debt than there is in savings. It is now 51% from what I read as of this week. It was getting bad. But now there's officially more debt than there is money in personal families. And don't forget, the evil 1% control all the wealth. So a lot of us are in deep, deep trouble because the top, say, 5% of all the wealth really skews that 50%. There's a lot of middle class. You know, I've been saying forever, the rich are getting richer. The poor hover because we're a compassionate nation and we help them. The middle class is shrinking like nothing. And when we talk about banks and debt ceilings and all this stuff, it's going to be problematic. You know what, before, because I know how fast time goes on the show, I want to bring something up. I always try to avoid politics, but not today. Today, I want to talk about something. It's come out that they're saying, well, you know, Trump rolled back Dodd-Frank and the regulations, and that's why this happened. All right, two thoughts for you. And yes, they're going to be a little bit political. One, Barney Frank came out. He's, what, 84 years of age or something. He hobbled his little stuttering butt out. And he said, no, that's not it. The guy that's named in Dodd-Frank said, no, that's not a problem. It was just, I guess, today or yesterday that came out. But here's a thought for you. So the current administration, day one, rolled back the energy. You know, we were energy, you know, we were able to stand on our own with gas and oil and digging and drilling and fracking. Day one, that was stopped. So fast forward 2 years later, I would say my money in the bank is equally as important as what I pay at the pump, but that's just me. I think it's important. So why on day two didn't they say, well, the first thing we're going to do is put back Dodd-Frank. We're going to rein in these banks and watch them and make sure they don't do anything bad. So no, that didn't happen. So if it really was Trump's fault that we had Silicon Valley Bank close their doors on Sunday and get a backstop, not a bail-in or a bailout, why did we have 2 years to fix this and we didn't? So stop with the politics. So I'm actually anti-political today because enough of this finger pointing, blaming, you know, and you know, the bottom line of all this today, is this the beginning or did we get it all out of our system? If you're at, I don't know, any bank, Ally Bank, which we love, so I'm sad to say that. If you're at any bank, are you safe now? The government just proved they're going to bail you out. Doesn't matter if you have $6 or $7 million, they're going to make you whole. Are you sure? Are you sure? The particular bank, Signature, the ones that so far we're seeing are defaulting, when you start hearing some of the people that had money there, huh? And by the way, if you're Mark Cuban or somebody who's got a lot of money, you're probably pretty smart. I mean, I'm guessing you're not just lucky. You're probably smart. So how did he not know about the 250, you know, limit? Well, because he had so much, he couldn't do it. Well, I don't know. There's over 5,000 banks. Why didn't he put 250 at 5,000 banks and pay somebody to monitor that and maintain it? Why didn't he learn about Cedars like I did? You know, why didn't he put his money at an insurance company? Why didn't he do different things and, you know, buy a few more mansions and stuff?
Well, when you got $1 billion, it's hard to spend all that kind of money.
I guess so. What is the old movie, Brewster's Millions or something, when they when you have to spend money, it's so hard to do. I'd like to give it a shot. I think I could do pretty good. I would give half it to my lovely Sandy. Later on, I'm going to apologize for that second to last wife comment and stuff. She could help me. She's a spender. I've seen her spend some money. Oh boy, I'm getting the death stare.
I'm still very, very, very concerned with assuring everybody that they're going to be fine when such limited amount of money in SVB was actually insured, because I don't know where that money's coming from. And say it does come from the FDIC. The FDIC has $100 billion in coffers, right? So they've got $100 billion to insure you. But they're saying there's $200 billion in assets at SVB that needs to be covered, right? So we already don't have that money.
There's about $18 trillion depositor assets, and I'm told that about $9 trillion, about half of that, is uncovered, meaning it's over 250,000, which now doesn't matter, apparently, depending on who you are. You know, life is, you know, who you know, not what you know.
And that's FDIC itself.
None of this makes sense, Anthony. And then our president said, well, you know, it's not going to cost the taxpayers. It's out of the money that the banks put into this fund. No, there's not enough. What you just said is true. There's not enough. So no, give me a break. And by the way, the government, you know, it's not going to cost the taxpayers. Where does the government get money? They don't produce anything. There's no merchandise sales. They raise our taxes. You know, should we talk about that for the end of the show? Our taxes are going up, kids. Hate to tell you. So they raise our taxes or they print money, and both are becoming problematic. So hang on. So we still think you have time to sit with us, talk to us, reach out to us, please. And we have goodies for you. We've got a carrot on a string for you. We've got copies of the Baby Boomer Dilemma we want to get in your hands. So you kind of, you know, ask us questions about your 401k. We have a wonderful, you know, little book called 23 Cost Cutters for 2023. It's really good. It gives you ideas on how to save money. You know, a complimentary consultation. Let's help you with what to do with your bank holdings. And let's do it sooner now than later. I hope you understood today's sense of urgency is necessary. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll see you next week. We'll talk to you next week on our 1 year anniversary. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Are you concerned about market volatility, rising taxes from the Biden administration, and how it could affect your retirement? Then listen to Another Money Show with J.R. Rochford and Anthony Correo. Learn how you can reduce the taxes you pay before and during retirement. Another Money Show every Saturday at 4 p.m. on 960 The Patriot. Schedule your free, no-obligation consultation now by calling 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444. At Rochford & Associates, we know you've worked hard to earn your money, and you've worked even harder to save it. When it comes to wealth management and planning for retirement, J.R. Rochford and his team of specialists have been helping individuals, families, and business owners find financial freedom at their veteran-owned firm for more than 25 years. Give us a call now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444.